Has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. It is Sunday, and once again, our Cybersecurity Sunday Show with Mr. AI Wynn. Wynn, are you there?
I'm here.
Great. Thank you for joining us. And before we get started, I want to remind people that just because you hear something of interest and you think, wow, that would be great to implement in my case, whether it's real estate, tax, or cyber, are three topics generally. Check with your professionals if you have some that consult or otherwise help you implement strategies in these areas. But it's definitely not a DIY in some cases. Now, all that said, today we're going to talk about ways that we can all improve our online privacy and security. And much of this, I think you would agree, Wynn, can be done DIY, correct?
Sure, yeah, so like everything else. But I want to get started by saying hello everyone, thank you for joining. And I want to start to say, you ever get a feeling like your online life kind of like a house of cards? You know, like one wrong move, like boom, all your privacy just gone. Well, today we're going to do a deep dive into a 12 or maybe one to a few privacy and security tools that you can use every day. You know, it sounds kind of catchy, you know. But to source of all digital things today, I want to talk about some of the essential strategy to protect your online privacy and security. We'll cover everything from password management to securing your home network. Some of the tips that we can keep your digital life safe. But before we go on, I just want to make sure that I'm not paid by any company to promote any application or software. Basically, today I'm talking about problem and solution, and some of the stuff that I experienced, some of the software that I want to share with everyone that I just got. It's pretty cool. And one of the software we're talking about later on after the second segment is the how to protect you online, especially when you use your phone, cell phone, and your web browser every day. Okay.
Great.
Okay.
Great.
With that being said, let's start with the topic we're talking about today. So how can we improve our online privacy and security, okay? So one of the things that I always talk about is using password manager to generate a strong, unique password. That's so important, and a lot of us don't even still tape the password on the notepad and also on the Apple Note, and they don't realize how important it is. So that's one thing. And another one is, the second is implement a two-factor authentication. And we mention this every episode that we talk about cybersecurity, right? And the third one is, you can chime in anytime, Nathan,
Sure. Well, you're checking all the boxes right now, and I know you just mentioned two-word authentication, and I don't think anybody likes doing that. It's kind of like... using the encrypted document management portals that we CPAs and banks and brokerages
And I'm
use.
Also guilty of this too. Sometimes the website I use the same password, but we're all human, you know.
I it's one of those necessary evils, and it's too bad that we have to live live like this. But I'm curious to learn more about the specific options that you're gonna sure. discuss today. Yeah. And
so on the fourth topic is we're talking about switching to privacy-focused browser like Brave instead of Google. I like Google. I'll tell you more about that, why I switched to Brave, okay?
Okay.
And fifth, using your email service like ProtonMail. I don't know if you heard of it, for sensitive information.
Yes, I have. I haven't used it, but...
Yes, some of this stuff is pretty good. And the sixth is utilize encrypted messages like Signal. You know, a lot of people use, like us, we use WhatsApp, right? But I'm starting to use Signal because it's faster and it's encrypted in both ways.
I know overseas we used to use WhatsApp. My wife was a user of that service. I never really was. I've never been fond of it, and I can't remember the reason that I didn't like it. But it probably, I mean, this goes back 5-6 years ago. It's likely been fixed, but we gravitated to an app called Line. It's a South Korean app. And the reason I liked Line at the time is it was fully encrypted. And I think WhatsApp is now. You just made me think, though, maybe I'm wrong. Is WhatsApp not encrypted? Because the way you said that
Yes and no, but there's still a way. The problem is too much spam that I have that is overwhelming. And it has some weaknesses too. But if you want the encrypted message and you want end-to-end encryptions, okay, and making it secure for especially sensitive communication, you use Signal. I like Signal better. It's faster and more efficient, and it deletes automatically all the email, all the text.
Yeah, Signal's not a Facebook app, is it?
No.
Is that Telegram? No. Which one? No. I think Telegram may be Facebook,
No, Facebook is WhatsApp.
Oh, okay. Well, that's another reason. Yeah. I don't like it then, and I didn't even know that.
I don't want to say it online. That's
well, that's okay. I'll say it.
Now
I
got your attention.
It.
Now I got your attention. Right.
Hey, one thing, too, I noticed there's an app. I'm not going to tell you which one that we use. It's awesome, or I would have already switched off of it. But one of the criticisms versus some of the competition is that, yes, it's got encryption. And when I don't know the end, you just mentioned end-to-end, so maybe that's what this one is not. It's encrypted between us as a user and getting the information into their system, which they host, okay? Mm-hmm. But within their company, employees can see the information. It's not encrypted. What do you call that type of encryption, where it's... It's encrypted from the outside world, but not the inside world.
So there's an end-to-end from one end to another, and there's also a payload, the data, right?
Okay.
In the middle, right? So WhatsApp, they do encrypt it both ways, right? But the thing is, part of it, because it's associated with another, like Facebook, right? And also too much spam that I have, that everybody using it. The Signal is very clean, and I'm telling you that certain institutions are using it a lot.
So is Signal a voice over IP communication tool as well, like WhatsApp is?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to give it a try.
Just give it a try.
Yeah. You know, and works great on the mobile, obviously, if it's got voice over IP.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the problem is trying stuff like this when you know, if you've just got one phone, or if you've got your phones like I do, where I use Google Voice as my voice over IP, and I've got the same Google Voice profile running on all my phones, and so it's convenient. I don't have to worry about which battery runs down or you know, which location I'm in. And just to undo that long enough to put something else in is kind of a pain. And then if it doesn't work or I don't switch, I've got to undo the undo. And so I don't know. I do want to learn more about Signal. I've heard others talk about it as being
a replacement. The problem you just mentioned is convenience, right?
Yeah,
everybody
right.
does
that's right.
convenient, but that's the problem.
Yeah. Like, well, that's what hackers take advantage of is our
exactly
lack of desire to go fix or make our systems tighter. So I guess we have to break down that barrier at some point.
So let's start with the password manager. Why is it so important?
Okay.
Right. And there's a lot of application out there, and I would dive in, but I for the sake of for all the audience online, I just want to use a simple languages instead.
Sure.
Okay. So let's assume that you have a password manager. You put everything in there, it's encrypted. So when you need it, you keep every unique password for each applications, right? And I know a lot of us are discouraged because we use 12 characters and we cannot remember. So basically, once we do it, we just remember, make good, especially with Google, say remember and then remember. It defeats the whole purpose, right? So that's why, let's be honest here. We use the same weak password, write it down, and stick it. No, everyone's doing it. I'm the guilty one too, right? But you have to change that mindset, right? So try to make your password like a Fort Knox level security. You know what I mean by that?
No, explain that.
Like every application you have, just use the passphrase instead of password.
I know. You've talked about this before.
And I keep reiterate it over and over again. And that's a sensitive. And a lot of people start using. They say that's too long. Well, just try it. Or you know what? I recommend a few application like 1Password or ProtonPass or Bitwarden.
Okay.
We're not paying by these people. I'm just saying that they're available.
You right. Still didn't mention the big one, or at least the one I've always thought was the big one. What is this, Robo?
There's a couple, but the one I really like that I really use a lot is called Keeper. And basically is a zero trust network and a zero infrastructure. We'll dive into that terminology.
You briefly mentioned letting Google save it, or I guess the browser, like Firefox. I think all the browsers offer to save passwords, but I've heard hackers directly refer to those as being fairly insecure.
But that comes into the next topic, which is the 2FA, right?
Okay.
Multi-factor authentications.
Okay.
That's why you use two-factor authentications. When you click on those passwords, it will ask you to authenticate, and you have to use two-factor authentication
But you're saying in a certain sense, and I've always thought this, like with my banking, you know, most banks, I believe now, are obligated or mandated to use the RSA.
Microsoft enforce it. You know, if you use Microsoft Online Azure, they enforce it this October. I mean, they force you to do it.
The RSA device?
They force you to use multi-factor authentications to log into your email.
Well, I'm referring to the RSA device
because if I've got
an RSA device,
I got you. That's
required.
Mm-hmm.
I don't fret the password situation as much because I think that pretty much ensures. Yeah, I mean, somebody have to be standing behind you and hit you over the head, you know, with that software up on the screen, because you know the code changes every 30 seconds.
I mean,
that's
the best. It's still the best today too.
Yeah, but it's
those
not
hardware.
Yeah, but it's not for. It's not as widely applicable to all your passwords. Like you call it, Keeper?
Yeah.
I mean, Keeper will work with any password. If the bank mandates the RSA device, which I think it's regulatory. You have to have it. There's no ands if you're going to send wires or do certain other electronic payments.
Well, the bottom line is you always have you should always use two-factor authentications.
Yeah.
By just even a simple one, even a simple text to your phone at minimum.
Yeah.
You still, you know, keep your information secure.
And of course, this is just one aspect of security. This doesn't get rid of the phishing. This doesn't get rid of the ransomware. I mean, this is simply
that is going to be my next topic on the next sections.
Okay. Well, hold that. Well, are you done with this section? Because we need to take a break.
No, go ahead and take a break. We'll talk more about.
Let's go ahead and take our first break, and we'll circle back with more of a discussion on how to improve our online privacy and security here on Be a Planner with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama. Get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little more giving and love alone.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at nprross.com. Nathan at nprross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Like the song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing to be free. Take me away, I want to be. Big dreams and big dreams. And there are many just like me.
With big dreams and big dreams.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be A Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. It is our Cybersecurity Sunday show, and I have our cyber expert, Mr. AI Nguyen, joining us again today. And we are talking about privacy and security with regard to each of our online activities, and we've worked our way down through password managers, two-factor authentication, switching to privacy-focused browsers like Brave. I guess DuckDuckGo is also one when I hear those ads day in and day out.
Yeah,
it's been a bunch of money.
There are a bunch of them, but I like the Proton Mail.
And, yeah,
there's some. Don't get me wrong, there's some application out there that's pretty good. You just have to try.
Well, I've got some friends that use Proton Mail. It seems to be the go-to in the email world. But I tell you, and even with a couple of my friends that are real proponents of Proton Mail, it's hard to get out of the clutches of Google. I mean, it's just they still have Gmail accounts. And, I don't know. I wonder how we can ever really be free of Microsoft, Google, and I see people that try, I forget the name of the operating system they try to use, but invariably, if you're doing anything with Google Drive for storage, Google Sites for web pages, the Slides application, the Office, in other words, there's Sheets, Docs, Slides, you just can't. It's hard to escape the clutches, and so I don't know. I agree with every one of these points, but in the back of my mind, I know how much it's like you said the magic word 10 minutes ago,
convenience.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And I just tell you, it's hard.
Well, some of the stuff, like another topic I want to talk about is a virtual address, like secondary phone number. Every day you apply for a lot of stuff, right?
Right.
And you apply for stuff. Use a secondary email, Proton email for that purposes. And,
yeah, that's true.
And also use a secondary phone number. Don't use your phone number for other stuff. Use your secondary phone. There's an application out there called Hush, and I'm testing it right now. So I'm going to have my own virtual address. Just think of the virtual address as like a P.O. box versus your house, right? So nobody knows.
Yeah.
And then use your phone number that people cannot use for marketing stuff. And you can settle those things.
Or if they can, I've got a Google Voice number that you can only text or leave a voicemail. Mm-hmm. It doesn't ring me.
Yeah.
And that's seems to work. That actually was an accident that I figured that out. It's been years ago.
How about virtual credit card? Have you used that?
I have not, but I know what you're talking about. Actually, I take it back. We do. In our boutique hotel business, mm-hmm. our corporate housing business, Expedia, works that way. They take a booking, they put the dollars on a virtual credit card, and then once a week we log in, and somehow, I don't do it, I have Amy.
If you have like 10 credit cards, you just use one.
Yeah.
And imagine that they cannot hack into, because it's a mess. Every time it happened to me, and somebody hacked into my credit card, I don't know how the heck they do it.
Well, Apple Pay is doing that.
That's one of them. Yeah, but right now I think they have a problem with the bank itself, something.
Well, I just know that when you process, look at the credit card number that shows up. It's not yours. It's an alias, mm-hmm. and I guess somehow
alias.
They,
that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Somehow they that's translate it to the real number, but I
that's a good term right there. Alias. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I was going to finish off the summary. So switching to privacy-focused browsers was the last item on our list that we've discussed, and then utilizing encrypted messaging apps like Signal versus WhatsApp, which apparently Wynn, you're saying is not the type of encryption that we're seeking. And
I mean, it does, don't let me wrong, but just that they're too much spam. And another thing is, until today, we don't know exactly how to encrypt it. You know, Facebook is that's another thing that I don't want to associate with. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah. Well, it's like we've discussed before. It's, it's not something, even before there was a Facebook, I wasn't the type that wanted to tell everybody about my kids, the house I live in, the cars I drive, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I just, like, why would you make that easy for, I mean, people would, you know, criminals could know when you were on vacation. And if you're on vacation, guess who's not in your house, right? And if you expose all that information, it makes it easier for criminals to possibly take advantage of your status, right?
So there's one major concern that I have with with the WhatsApp, okay, I'm telling you right now, is the privacy.
Yeah.
That's my problem. WhatsApp belong to Facebook, and they collect everything, all your user. That's the problem. So even though they both use end-to-end encryption by default, don't get me wrong. But one is don't collect your data, and the other
data collection is unrelated to end-to-end encryption, right? That's just a side door.
If I can hack Facebook, I get those informations.
You're right. If you give Facebook, and all these apps work this way, once you install it, the first question it asks is for access to your email contact list. And, you know, I've always thought, well, they're taking that so they can market those people, but I'm not so sure.
Same thing with the question that people ask about the VPN. What's the best one? And I said I choose the NordVPN. What's the difference between NordVPN and other stuff? NordVPN are regulated by non-institution, not like, for example, they're not associated. They're like the Swiss bank of VPN. They don't collect your data. Okay? So the privacy is my concern.
And spell that when it's N-O-R-D, is that right?
N-O-R-D, VPN. Yeah. It's great. It's faster. Once again, I'm not promoting the product. I just tell folks online what I'm using every day for myself. And I really like the product.
And we'll preface that by saying none of them are 100% perfect, correct?
They're not perfect. Nothing is perfect. Yeah. But having them is you are 50% better than most people.
Yeah.
That's why I want to talk about.
Yeah, hackers like convenience too, right?
Yep.
So if you can be a little bit, it's like, you know, when a criminal may be looking to break in houses on a certain block and they come to one that has the security sign outside. They don't necessarily know whether or not that's fake, whether it's real, but you know what? The one next door on either side probably doesn't have one. So why wouldn't you start on those instead of taking a chance that you're going to have a short night.
And we live in the digital world, and the hacking is getting, you know, every single day now, like part of our life, you know?
Yeah.
So these are the things that you can do to prevent it. And it's nothing 100% proof. Nothing, but having those. And another thing too, that's a service called Delete Me. It removes all your personal information from a data broker. You don't realize how much information your personal is out there. I mean, it's just scary when I talk about this.
How does it do that? You're talking about it can delete it from the dark web even?
You can legally force it to remove, not from the dark web, but from other. Right now, if I want to search everything about you, you'd be surprised. I got everything.
From legitimate data collection. Right.
You can remove it, and I'm telling you, but that's how the hacker get it, right?
Yeah.
And that worries me. Do you know that if I can take the photo of you, I can search everything about you online?
Hmm.
Does that sound scary? It better be, because it's scary.
Yeah.
You know? And last but not least, on part of the improve online privacy and security, monitoring your credit report and freezing the credit to prevent identity theft. That's so important.
Yeah. So another reason for using LifeLock or something like it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So that's it for the privacy and the security tools.
Okay, right? Great. Well, I've got a couple there on the list that I'm going to go ahead and get installed and try to start getting acclimated to whatever the nuances are.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Anyway, okay. So the next topic I want to talk about is the software that I saw it online, and I actually use it. I really like it. Have you heard of Guardio.io?
I don't think I have. How is it relatively new? When?
It's just been around. But what I use it for, so basically this is your online protection, okay? And basically it's blocking dangerous website and download malicious browser extension on your internet. When I say this, I'm talking about your phone and your laptop or on your desktop. So I'll give you one example. A lot of us, even though we're very careful, even though we follow the online privacy and security, right? But sometimes we make mistake by clicking on the phishing email, right?
Right.
And today it's more common than you think. It's very common.
Yeah.
So this application, basically, it will block it. And I give you one example, and I tested it. It really worked. Have you ever received a text from postal service and said you need to go pick up your package, or it's stuck at the post office, you need to click on this to release it? You receive it all the time.
I have, actually. And it looked, something about it was odd. I did not do it.
And
but
you click
I, it
on
made
it.
Me stop and think.
Yeah.
You know?
But some people do click on it. You know how they click on it? Because they're expecting a package, right?
Well, I use Informed Delivery, which is the U.S. Postal Service's alert notification service. They scan packages or letters at the origin, I believe, is how it works, and then you're getting updates. But the couple times that I had what you described happen, it didn't look the same, and it was just different enough that I thought, I want to look and see where that letter originated or whatever, and that information wasn't in there. And so I figured, you know what, this probably didn't come from the U.S. Postal Service. I mean, the good thing about the U.S. Postal Service is it's old school to the point where they don't send you 13 different versions or a variety of communication styles, right? It's the same thing every time. And I guess that lack of variability is a positive thing in this case. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, this application called Guardio, and they specialize in online protection, and they have some eye-opening stat. You know? It's like, do you know that 1 in 4 Americans being a victim of cyber attack?
Oh, I don't doubt it.
I'm a little surprised
it's not more than that.
That's a crazy. You know? No, I'm a bit conservative. So what is your initial thought of that? Like, what's the state of cybersecurity today that make you wonder, right?
Well, it's not a tollway. It's a open expressway, basically.
This thing
right?
is probably bigger than most of us think.
Yeah,
and,
true.
And it happened more frequent. And I tell you, 80% of the attack target people under 50. So you would think that they would target people like the elder, right? But
right.
38% attack target people under 50.
Huh.
And that actually kind of surprised me too, until I did some research. right?
Yeah.
But the older generation would be more vulnerable, but it seems that the younger people are right in the crosshair. And do you know why it is? Everybody's
no.
online now.
Yeah.
Everybody online, everybody on their phone.
Yeah.
Right? And it's just like leaving your door unlocked and your window open. Everybody's are doing it right now. So this application, that's one thing I like about this. Nothing to mention. Do you know the real world impact? We got how much last year on the cybercrime loss, according to the U.S. statistic?
Yeah, how much was that?
$12.5 billion.
Huh.
$12.5 billions. You know?
Huh.
That is crazy. That's
yeah.
really
that's
impacted business.
It's
a lot of money. And we're talking about yeah. financial burden. Well, back to the example I just gave it to you. Even if you click on the link, even if you click on it, okay, Guardio will block it. And I'm telling you, I tested it, and it's really worked. I tested all the scenario, like fake. So I saved some of the spam, like the banking, Bank of America. I always use Bank of America for some reason. Anyway, they click on the link, and they block it right away. It block it. It blocked from the download. So that is, I'm telling you, that's 90% of the battle today, that you click on the stuff that you go through, but this one will block it.
Yeah.
So the way this application work, see here. So they install new extensions, right? So before you do anything, you have to, but before they're looking at everybody, even if you look at the HTTPS, that's a padlock, by the way. Even if you look at
right.
you think it's safe, not necessary. So this application,
okay.
they go in there, they block a lot of stuff.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
And is it also a VPN or no?
No, this is not VPN. This
okay.
really for your browsing, right?
Okay.
That's the main in
so
phishing.
Does it install as an extension into Firefox, Chrome, etc.?
It's installed for all the extension on all of the above. So
okay.
I use it because I use the Edge. So I install the extension on the Edge.
So when you say mm-hmm. the Edge, you mean
Microsoft's the Microsoft
Edge
yeah.
browser,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So here's the thing. You try everything, right? You have firewall stuff, but sometimes the phishing email get through. They're getting smarter. But this application,
yeah.
exactly what it does. It blocked the extension of the malware, but also the download. Okay? So that is major, major winning battle, I think.
Yeah.
So let's hope that this really works. I downloaded, I tested it. I really like it. You know.
Good. I'll have to give that a try as well.
Mm-hmm.
What else do you have, Wynn? I wanted to see if you had noticed the yesterday's announcement that Delta had finally filed a suit against CrowdStrike. I think we mentioned whenever we first talked, when was it, 2 months ago, about
yeah.
the CrowdStrike
yeah.
issue?
It started.
And they,
mm-hmm.
yeah, they did file suit. $500 million is what they're alleging the damages
wow.
to do. And, I'm not sure,
that's
of course,
hurt.
Different
yeah.
sides, well, different sides have different views of liability. And there's an article on CrowdStrike.com that says CrowdStrike will not be liable for any loss or damage caused by any malware sample that may infect customers' computer equipment. So this apparently is lifted right out of their disclaimer. So, I mean, for those of you that, see the disclaimers every time you install a software application that, I don't know. Have you ever looked at an Apple disclaimer? When
I never
it's
read
like,
them. I never
it's
read
like
them.
They should not allow disclaimers more than 50 words is what I would suggest, because when they do that, you can rest assured there's things you're not going to see. You may not see it if it's limited to 50 words, or you may see words that you don't understand what that means. So
what come down to it, the jury going to decide that, right? So you
yeah.
can have all those legal mumbo,
right.
mumbo jumbo,
right.
but what come down to it, the court going to the they're going to say, did you try your best? What come down to it, what constitute doing your best to protect the consumer, So you can write all those fancy words. I'm telling you, it means nothing unless you can challenge. If people challenge
well,
it. In this
and,
case,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and you've got to be able to explain it to where mm-hmm. the 12 people sitting on the jury who are not IT experts generally. In fact, I suspect both sides' legal counsel would strike any IT expert that might be in the jury pool that gets
you cannot defend
into the voir dire process.
Plus, and, you look at the publicity. It's all around the country, around the world. Who would not sympathize the company?
Right. Who wouldn't who wouldn't be prejudiced already?
Exactly. It's already in their head. Yeah. You're talking about not just Delta. Yeah. You're talking about the government. You're talking about everybody, right?
Yeah.
So what? That's why.
Well, it's interesting. One of the quotes, let's see, this was on this article I'm referring to right this second, is on CNN.com. And there's a quote from CrowdStrike. You'll like this, Wynn. Delta, quote, Delta's claims are based on disproven misinformation and demonstrate a lack of understanding of how modern cybersecurity works and reflect a desperate attempt to shift blame for its slow recovery away from its failure to modernize its antiquated IT infrastructure, CrowdStrike said late on Friday. So did they miss anything there that could possibly cause Delta to be responsible? Their antiquated IT infrastructure, their misunderstanding. Oh, so they're not as smart as we are, is what CrowdStrike's saying. They don't understand our product.
All we blame the customer.
Yeah, well.
Typical.
They've purchased CrowdStrike products since 2022 and claim that the outage forced it to cancel 7,000 flights, impacting 1.3 million passengers over 5 days. That's pretty significant. If you just attach, you know, $300, $400, which I suspect some of those flights were a lot more, but attach $300 to $400 to each of those 1.3 million passengers. And it's easy to see how they got to. And this $500 million amount, Delta alleges, is out-of-pocket losses. As well as for, let's see, an unspecified amount of lost profits, expenditures, including attorney's fees, and, quote, reputational harm and future revenue loss. I'm not sure how airlines could be damaged reputationally as bad as they're already considered.
Well, you know, just like an accident, just like a personal injury accident, right? Somebody always at fault because a person is hurt.
Yeah.
Right? Even if you got three people in the car.
Yeah, and even if it was unintentional.
It's unintentional. Right? They always, somebody's at fault.
Yeah.
But in this kind of, I don't blame, CrowdStrike cannot blame Delta because they did not respond fast enough. You think about this. The bigger company, the slower they move. How can you say that? This is configurations. This is a low-tech configuration mishap. And this, maybe that's the real, maybe it's not. We don't know. We never know, right?
It puts into stark relief, is another quote here, different article, how a single automated software update brought much of the global economy to a sudden halt.
Configuration management.
Yeah, revealing the world's overwhelming dependence on a key cybersecurity company and what it will take to recover. That's pretty...
Well, you know why CrowdStrike using that configurations terminology, right? Because it is so true, though. We actually have policy. A lot of companies have problem with configuration management. It's actually a term for it, right? You think about developers and application, they push server out there. They don't even look what they need to protect for. They need to remove certain. They just do a default configurations, right? Allow all the port in. So there is actually a policy for that. I mean, it happens so often they actually have policy for that, configuration management. But that is one of the weakness of the cybersecurity, configuration management. So I think CrowdStrike using that logic too.
Yeah.
No.
Well, it was the cybersecurity software. I'm not sure I've seen this name identified. Do you know the name of the product, Wynn, that had the issue? It's called Falcon.
Yeah.
So
millions
of computers
the
around the world running Microsoft Windows, and I'm not sure you could have been running Max necessarily. Did this start at the server level, Wynn?
It started at desktop and server everywhere. And I'll give you one instant, okay? Imagine this. Let's see the impact of this, okay? You know, the government is the Microsoft customer, right? Big customer, right?
Right.
Imagine the guys in the field, the military's in the field, and all of a sudden, boom, this laptop's not working.
Yeah, right? That would be a problem.
That would be a problem with it.
Yeah.
You're talking about, right? But then again, then you blame the military. You know what? They should have check and balance. They should have implemented this, should have tested first. You know, we rely on you. But anyway, this is one of the things that, I still like the product itself. I use it. I love CrowdStrike. I mean, this one is the best. It's just like Guardio when I talk about that, because it can stop the contain. It has a containment service that will stop the lateral movement. But it's still a great product. But unfortunately, it happened, right?
Yeah.
But this kind of this thing shouldn't happen. I'm telling you, this configuration thing. I don't know is it true until today. I'm still puzzling. Is that real reason?
Yeah, because, I see what you're saying, because right? We may never know, actually, right?
Imagine, imagine if they say, you know, the hacker hacked our network. Done. That's it. It's over. Nobody can use your products again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but I think, I read some article, too. They are prepared for this contingency. They probably have the insurance to pay all this. Anyway, but it's eye-opening. It's something we learn every day.
You know? Hey, let's go ahead and take our last break. We're well past due, circle back momentarily with the last segment, final segment of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. And I was gonna win no matter how much I lost.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control. Take it like a man.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. It's Cybersecurity Sunday once again, and we've been discussing assorted ways to improve our online privacy and security. When changing directions here for a second, I don't know if you noticed this week. I didn't see this in any of the major news media, but a notorious hacker named US DOD, who was linked to the national public data breach, among others. You remember we talked about that, a month and a half ago, the breach where 2.9 billion financial profiles were extracted from the national public data database. That's a database that, you know, credit card companies access for making credit approvals, and I guess employers and assorted other people access. It's a common database, you know, used by many industries. But in any event, they arrested this gentleman, and he's also known as, say it's a he, the shadowy figure they have in the illustration looks like a male, but also known as Equation Corp. Mm-hmm. Has a long history of high-profile data breaches where he stole data and commonly leaked it on hacking forums while taunting the victims. Did you see this?
I saw that.
Anything to add?
Well, you know, what is the term U.S. DOD hackers? This term referring to cybersecurity expert in ethical hacking working within the U.S. Department of Defense.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So he must be linked to somebody or insider, always insider job, I'm telling you. According to the FBI, 80% of the breach came from the inside.
And do you think this is legit? This isn't like a counter.
They caught him. They caught him in Brazil.
Right, but you, how do we know that it's not a counterintelligence operation?
That's
where
what
they're
I'm
trying
saying.
To lure.
Exactly. That's what I'm about to say.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You know, during the 2016, and there's the hackers that say, "Hey, we have the information about all the stuff here with the election, all kind of stuff," and then the U.S. government said, "You know, you don't have those," and they, how about it? I give you a sample. They gave a sample. They got everything. That's gonna shock everybody. How did they get it? Who got it? Anyway, that is still puzzling. So I can't assume anything.
Yeah.
But they caught him in Brazil, 33 years old.
Yeah. Well, who do we trust, right? How do we know?
Trust no one, you verify know. All, I would say.
I mean, and this is kind of a murky, you know, knowledge base anyway that most people don't understand. I mean, it's not like a president getting assassinated. We all know physically what happens there, but how do you know on infrastructure and, you know, database breaches and things such as this, how do we really know that what we're being told happened? And
this is scary.
It's all scary, but this one was a big one. I mean, this is probably the largest data breach that included Social Security numbers, and as we've already discussed, having the Social Security number is kind of the coup d'etat if you're trying to undertake,
you know,
financial
maybe next
fraud.
Next week we should talk about, you know, there's a big hacker group in the world, right? Have you heard of the group called the 8200?
I used to read their magazine.
No. That's
or I say theirs.
No,
it's
no,
somebody
no,
else's.
6800. You talk about the magazine. This is 8200.
Okay. Well,
I'll give you a little title, a little brief descriptions. Yeah. Okay, these are the Israeli cyber security.
Huh.
They make Department of Defense or NSA like peanuts. Okay, they collect every single data there is out there. It's the largest signal group in the entire world.
Huh.
So that tells you if they can do it, other people can do it, right?
Well,
and here's the thing too. I want to mention, you know, today we dive into a lot of stuff, right? We're talking about, but to me, not all doom and gloom, not all doom and gloom, right? Some are impressive and terrifying at the same time. So we have a lot of stuff we need to talk about. And one other thing I want to talk about today, just real quick, have you heard of the deep fake and the real estate market in Florida? You know what happened?
Are you referring to title fraud or what type
I'm
of fraud?
I'm talking about this guy, he about to purchase a land from this old lady. And this old lady say that she has a dementia. Exactly.
Mature.
Yeah,
right.
I'm
okay.
Sorry. Yeah, I shouldn't say that. You know.
Yeah, we're all old, pal.
Oh, you know, too early in the morning. But anyway, he thought he bought this house from the elderly, okay? Mm-hmm. And then the time come to sign the titles, and then he said, you know what? I need the title company to help me out. So they call Zoom to this lady and see her face, right? They saw her face.
Yeah.
But the stiffness, and they begin to wonder, wait a minute, do something for us. Move your hand. They realized the whole face was
a
deep
photo.
It was a video of a person that's fake.
Huh.
And even though they check out all the ID, but at the end, the face was not real.
Okay.
Is that not scaring you?
Yeah.
I don't know what is. That's the neck face.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's certainly an interesting world we live in, and while we like having all of the accoutrements, if you will, of technology, I tell you, sometimes it's a little bit disparaging. I mean, and it's not just on your data. I mean, look at things that have gone wrong and some of the technology that's going into the new vehicles, right mm-hmm. when, I mean, you know, I bemoan the fact that my 2010 Toyota Tundra doesn't have tech, you know, in large measure. That was back before you had built-in GPS, before you had rear backup cameras, things such as this. I mean, there was some aftermarket stuff, which is what I use, but it's not the same as newer models where, you know, you get a beep when you're backing up as you get closer to objects. You've got the ability to look at a map that's like a small flat-screen TV versus a phone screen, right?
Mm-hmm.
But things go wrong on tech, whether it's on a vehicle or whether it's, you know, at your router. And I tell you, when I wish we had more time, and maybe we can talk next week. I want to learn more because I'm right at the onset of switching our internet provider at our condos here in San Antonio, and I was buying a couple routers and Wi-Fi access points this week to test. And I want to find out more about that experience in today's world because, man, are there a lot of choices, you know? Okay, well, we're coming to the end of the show. Thank you for tuning in once again. Wen, thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here.
We look forward to next Sunday right here on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.